time in the last six seasons, the Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it! Terrific header, Callum Robinson, super ball in.
Great feeling, we have to treasure these nights.
Well, hello there. Welcome on to the RTE Soccer Podcast. I'm Adrian Eames and we're joined by James O'Toole from Soccer Republic, and also Alan Cawley joins us on the line. Truly, we live in extraordinary times as the coronavirus pandemic takes hold right across Europe and much of the world. Football has been virtually wiped out here in Ireland. No matches until post-March 29th, and I guess who knows thereafter. Of course, the bigger picture is the health and safety of humankind. So in doing this podcast, we're extremely conscious of that, and that everything we chat about is against a shocking backdrop of what's happening and the lives being lost and the pain being endured by people in Ireland and, of course, around the world. But we're here to chat soccer, so that's what it says in the tin, so let's do it. But, James, this day last week, there were almost more innocent times. We were chatting about Shamrock Rovers 5, wins from 5, but now no football. It's surreal.
It's a very changed time in a matter of 7 days. We consider last Monday in the studio we were chatting about soccer, but as you said yourself, there's bigger things that are happening around us at the moment, and it's stuff that almost sport has to take a back seat to, unfortunately, and it's stuff that we have to look out for each other, and hopefully it doesn't affect any of your loved ones that closely, and if it does, just help them and help everybody around you, basically, is what is the way forward at the moment. Like, we will talk about soccer, but as you said, Adrian, there's a lot more happening around us, and the backdrop is of that.
Alan, as James said there, sport and football takes a back seat, but it's a strange world when sport isn't happening, isn't it?
It sure is, Adrian, and we often joke, sometimes these things can be taken for granted, but we often joke about people after maybe we've had a brilliant weekend of sport, then we often joke about people saying, what do you do if you don't watch sport, you know? But in a situation like this, obviously, where it's the norm for us, obviously, with the weekend that has just passed, and for all of us who love sport and football and it's part of our lives on a daily basis and a weekly basis, it is very, very strange and very surreal, but it's the reality, and it's something that we have to obviously take great heed of, and all the advice that we're given at the moment, because this is obviously global. It's a worldwide thing. It's something that nobody has ever seen before, and any advice that we're hearing from the experts and the government and whoever the powers that be, we have to take heed of that. And ultimately, as you said, it's the players and the fans and supporter safety or anybody involved. And if it means sport and football, our love, taking a backward step for a period of time, whether that be 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever the case may be, we just have to deal with it as best we can.
And James, we simply don't know how long this is going to go on. That's the curious thing. We're in uncharted territory. Things are evolving all the time. By the time we publish this podcast, things may well have changed. The season here, we simply don't know what's likely to happen. But it is very hard to see football post March 29th, in the short term at least.
Yeah, it's very hard to see. But we have got the benefit of the fact that we're not like the English leagues or anything like that. We're at the very start of our season. So if there is a bit of a delay, it won't really affect how we go. It then depends on how long that delay is, because unlike those clubs who are in the UK or in France or Germany or Italy or Spain, money worries here are massive to these clubs. And if there's no cash flow coming in the gate, if there's no fans coming in the gate, then they struggle to pay players. They struggle to pay their tax returns. They struggle on so many levels, and it just depends now on how long we have to wait before we can get football back up and running in the country.
And on that, Alan, clubs right around the country, they'll be feeling the pinch. Drogheda United have issued a statement. They've said they're suspending payments to all first team and coaching staff given the suspension of the league. And quotes on the Drogheda United Twitter feed from Chairman Conor Hoey saying, "We need to act now so that the club is financially ready to continue once the league recommences. We do not have any budgetary issues within the club, but this is about being prudent and planning ahead. We thank all staff and players for their understanding. We are all in this together." But for players, it's a particularly difficult time, isn't it, Alan? Potentially we'll hear a lot more of this kind of situation evolving with various clubs around the country. But Drogheda United out early to say that they have to suspend payment to players.
Again, it's the reality of the situation, Adrian. And I think, to be fair to Drogheda, they've been very proactive on this because they have acted quick. And as you rightly say, this won't be the first. In the next coming days, you will hear other clubs having to do this. And it's no surprise, really. the good thing about that, I suppose, from Conor Hoy's point of view, was the fact that he says not all the players' contracts will be honoured once we get football up and running again. But I think it's just the reality of the situation, and I doubt that decision was made lightly as well, because of course you want to try and look after all your staff and everybody involved, but it's just a scenario that we find ourselves in. And as James pointed out there, it's all right for it, obviously, the big huge clubs in the Premier League and the money that they can kind of take the blow of this for a period of time. This, unfortunately for us, we have many conversations about this regularly on the podcast every year, but our clubs are fighting fires left, right and centre on financial things. But something like this is just as it's unprecedented as this, they will have no choice but to do this. And it is a worrying time for players. But I think the one thing that has been, I suppose, a standout so far in this, Adrian, is how quickly everybody has reacted to it and the country. And if it means for the good of, obviously, you see pubs and bars and everyone, small businesses, who I'm sure have massive worries. They're no different, and you could class the clubs as something like that as well. That for the good of people's safety and people's health, it's just the reality of what has to be done. And I'm sure the players, as kind of inconvenient as it will be for them, and especially ones with bills to pay and the likes of that, you just have to go with what's in the best interest of looking after people. And unfortunately, that's what's going to have to happen here. It won't be the first. We will see it with many other clubs. But hopefully, the layoff is not too long. I don't think we'll be back playing in 2 or 3 weeks by any means. This is going to run for a period of time, Adrian, as you probably are aware yourself. So it's going to be maybe 8 weeks, 12 weeks if we are back playing. And unfortunately for the players, they'll just have to deal with it as best they can, like everybody else who is off work at the moment.
Well, let's get a view from one of the country's leading clubs from Derry City. Dodie McGuinness joins us on the line. Hello, Dodie.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Not too bad at all. What are the challenges for Derry City in all of this?
Challenges are, I suppose, similar to every other club. You know, you have no cash, as James says, coming on the gate. And while we have support from a very generous chairman, you still have a budget. You still have revenue that you need to earn to actually support everybody. You have the difficulty, I think, of having, you know, Irish players and then what you would class foreign players, people from outside Ireland who have families elsewhere. And how do you cope with that? And how do you cope with honouring contracts? And as I think it was Alan just said there that players need to work with their clubs. If clubs financially can't pay them their full salary today, but they're going to honour their contracts, then we all have to work together. Our club, our board, hasn't made any final decisions on how they will move forward financially. But what we have done is we're meeting with all the players this afternoon. We're giving them programs. We're saying to them, be careful, look after yourselves, look after your families, and see where this goes. And I think the time frame is scary, I think, because if you look, if we take China, who was one of the first countries to close down, that's been running for 3 months and it's not completely finished yet. You know, so you're not talking 2 weeks, you're talking 12, 14, 16, 18 weeks. And then that's a bigger discussion, I think, has to be held in terms of how we restart a league that is that far on its deadline. Can we, you know, how you can support that?
And James, all things being well, as Dodie mentioned, this could go on for quite some time. Then potentially are we looking at the league restarting possibly as a winter league in November, December, possibly? I mean, we simply don't know, I guess, but that is a possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a possibility. I think it has been done before during the foot and mouth crisis. I think we had a bit of a delay to football during that time. But as Dodie says, like Derry being in a different jurisdiction to most of the other teams, the only one within the guidelines of the British government, like nothing is happening in the UK. Well, like, we've shut down everything here, whereas they haven't done it up north. So that's going to actually take longer for it to blow through, you would suspect, in Northern Ireland, unless things have taken up right now and action is taken right now, as in today, shut down schools, etc., follow the guidelines of the Irish government. But it is a strange time. I think the only way around this is, and some clubs don't like me saying this, is for this league to see it out, First Division and Premier Division, I think we now realistically have to just say League Cup is gone, FAI Cup is gone this season. and we try and close out and get the league done by Christmas. Get that done and then straight into pre-season. But then again, contract-wise, players, if players aren't paid, how does that react on their contracts? Will deals be done between the PFEI and the clubs and the government? Because I think they have to step in here as well and realise that this is an industry that could well just fade away.
Alan?
Yeah, that's the worry, Adrian, but I would echo a lot what the guys are saying, and Doherty, obviously, who's dealing with the players today, which is going to be, I suppose it's not going to be the nicest meeting, but I think to be fair to players as well, and I've been in situations where we've had to have meetings with, I remember when we were at Bray and there was talk of pay cuts, and generally, Adrian, the players are quite, as much as you don't want to hear stuff like that, and as much as makes your daily life inconvenient, particularly the older ones that might have responsibilities in terms of families and mortgages, they're quite understanding. And if they're approached in a way like Doherty's saying, and especially with this, which is like what I'm talking about, was when we were at Bray, it was just pay cuts because they were struggling financially. The likes of a global crisis like this, of course they're going to understand, and as much as it will be an inconvenience with them, I'm sure every player will work with the club, but I think it's important that it's a two-way street, and obviously the clubs are doing everything they can, which I think with Conor Hoy's statement today, that's the one line that stuck out for me, that although they have to suspend payment now, there's no suggestion whatsoever that the players won't be paid what they're due, and I think that's important, and if their players are fully aware of that, that's something that they'll just have to, it's like with something, it's what life is throwing at us at the moment, and you'll just have to deal with that as best you can. So I think the players will be quite understandable in that regard. Then I suppose you're into the whole thing of when the season kicks off again, running it off, as James said there, getting up to the likes of winter and Christmas. I think the winter thing has to be on the table now, as much as I don't particularly like the winter football, but again, it's a situation that it's out of your control and out of our hands, that if we need to play the season off, get it up and running and get it done before Christmas, I think that's fairly reasonable. I know it's probably minor in this scenario, but you'd be into storms and the bad weather and postponements and pitches, but I think that argument take a backward step for now, because it would just be a case of having to just play the league and get the league out of the way regardless of pitches and the weather and all that kind of stuff. You'd also have to look at maybe players who have signed contracts up to, if it's the end of October, November when the season ends, surely there's something in place there that you can extend those contracts out to December, January, whatever, till we get the season up and running. So there's a whole lot of things to be ironed out. But I think ultimately what it boils down to, and as Doherty said there, it comes down to not just within the footballing world, in life itself at the moment, everybody just has to work together to try and get through this. And I think that's been happening so far, especially on our island, it's certainly been happening. I think what's going on in the UK is a disgrace, to be honest. But certainly on our island, it's happening. They've been proactive, the government and everything. I think people are finally tuning into how serious this is. And I think the football world will react to that as well.
Doherty, presumably there's been lots of meetings in Derry in the last few days, and no doubt more to come. But generally, what's the mood amongst the players that you've detected, or the feedback that you've got so far in terms of this situation and potentially the suspension of payments?
They're probably like everybody, there's an uncertainty there, and nobody has certainty to be able to give to them other than, you know, give them a programme, tell them to keep themselves well, assure them the board, you know, and you can't come up 3 months down the line, so assure them that their wages are okay this month, that we will all come back and review all this type of stuff, and I think every club's going to be doing the same thing, you know, just to keep the thing moving. But I do think it's important that the structures of the clubs keep in contact with their individual players. Like ours will be given a programme. The management team have been tasked to keep in contact with them every day. They'll meet our doctor tonight, and he'll advise them, you know, what they look for, what they protect themselves against. So we're doing as much as we can to help prevent them being involved in this coronavirus, basically. And I think that's all clubs can do at this stage. It's very early in the day to make any concrete decisions, but I think we have to have the discussions with everybody. And you're correct in that sense. Speak to people early, get everybody's opinion, and get buy-in to the thing that we have to move this whole situation forward. And if we have to play up to Christmas, then we have to do it.
And presumably at this stage, Dodie, collective training is gone by the boards. It's individual programs for the players to keep them ticking.
It's gone by the board. That's what the meeting tonight is about. And we're meeting them in threes and fours in a very large room, you know, just to have that personal contact with them that is just not an email. They're saying, right, training stopped. It is. Here's your program. Here's your equipment. Away you go. You're the phone on every other day. We will be in touch with you. We will keep you up to speed. Because I think that's the important thing. You know, continuous contact is the important thing.
Absolutely. And would the supporters clubs, the various ones involved with, say, Derry, be prepared to rally around? Do you think that's an avenue that might have to be pursued, that the supporters might be asked to step up and perhaps contribute in the absence of income?
Well, you would hope that that they actually would do that. You know, it would be, you know, I know that one of the clubs here have been selling virtual tickets. They've been selling their tickets for matches in advance that can be redeemed at a time that the match is put on, which is, I think, is a very good idea and something which we might, you know, we might tick up. But what you're trying to do is get support from the people who support your club and retain whatever financial support that you have, so you have some source of an income, as well as what, you know, you have to raise yourself, or as well as what our chairman is likely to put on. And I think we're one of the lucky clubs that we do have somebody who will support the club, and he will look at it in a very pragmatic way and move forward. But in realistic terms, I think everybody has to understand that you review the situation the longer it goes on, and you have to review you might have to have hard discussions with people.
Okay, all right. Dodie, listen, many thanks for joining us on the line on the RTE Soccer Podcast. That's Dodie McGuinness from Derry City. James, we're obviously trying to be very positive about all of this, and given the bigger picture, as we mentioned at the outset, but for some clubs, You'd have to worry about certain clubs that they may not be able to withstand the loss of incoming revenue, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd have to worry about them. I was actually in contact with a couple of clubs today. So, for instance, Dundalk, they obviously have online tickets that they have available for matches. Shamrock Rovers, once again, online tickets plus their programmes from last Friday night that were printed up. You can get them at shamrockrovers.ie. Bohemians have obviously just launched a new jersey, which again will be available online. Sligo Rovers at sligorovers.com have their lotto, which you can do online just to keep some money coming in. Derry there, as we're talking, they have a digital program, and again, tickets, they're on sale as well. Cove Ramblers have produced a virtual ticket for the game that was to be on Saturday against Galway United. There's a couple of other clubs are doing stuff as well, just to keep money coming into them. So you'll see it through their social media. If you want to ring the club or anything like that, even if it's just buying a virtual ticket or something just to keep money coming in, I think that's where we as sports fans can come together and give a little bit. It doesn't have to be massive or anything like that, but give a little bit over to clubs so there is some kind of finance coming in this time. Because as you said, there are small clubs out there in the Premier Division and in the First Division that may not see this out and may have to come down to fully part-time amateurs playing out the rest of the league if they can't play the players they have on contract.
Yeah, just on that, Adrian, like, I know the couple James started off with there, the likes of Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, you would like to think they'll be able to cope with this, and obviously the resources that they have as well. I know Dodie mentioned there, of course, we all know Philip, who puts a lot of money in at Derry, but it's the smaller clubs, really. Like, this could be a knockout blow for some of them, sadly and unfortunately, and this is the reality of it. That's why I think the bigger picture is, this is where I know there was a task force set up and there was meetings with the PFEI and the FEI during the week, but I think it's almost at a critical point now where those meetings, you'd have to start talking, and this is where it's going to be a problem in terms of the FEI. We all know they're not flush with cash and stuff is going on there as well, and I know that meeting that's taking place today in terms of the bailout and all that kind of stuff. But if Niall Quinn is obviously true to his word, which I know he is, and from what I've heard, he very much is, and obviously the League of Ireland has to be front and centre, this is where it definitely needs help now at this moment in time in terms of money and wherever it's going to come from, but certainly money from the FEI and investment to keep a couple of these clubs afloat. Because if the likes of Drogheda are suspending payments today and thinking we have money put by for once we get back playing, but we just don't know when it'll be back playing, can they cope with that? And others included, like, so it's all right for a couple of the bigger ones, but certainly the smaller ones you would have to worry about, who are, and that's the problem over here is that we're so heavily reliant on gate receipts keeps the show on the road for a lot of these clubs. And I know there's the lovely sentiment about the virtual tickets and all and that kind of stuff, and it's lovely to think people would get behind their clubs and try and do their extra bit and whatever they can. But I don't think the likes of those things will sustain trying to pay out wages of what they would be getting if all these games were going ahead.
Of course, Alan, as you say, it's the loss of match night revenue from merchandising, from halftime raffles, from, you know, the club shops. All that money has been lost. That's the big issue as well, or part of many issues for clubs.
It is, definitely, because I think John O'Sullivan wrote an article last week, and obviously John knows the ins and outs of the financial side of things, having been the chairman at a couple of clubs, and he was saying if a club is budgeting for 2,000 people coming to a game, you're looking at the guts of 30 grand coming in over the course of obviously ticket revenue and whatever spent on the night and all that kind of stuff. So if you're losing 30 grand every second week for a period of, if this runs into 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, like, do the sums, you know, like, that's going to be a massive, massive blow to a lot of these clubs. And again, as I go back to how they can sustain that, they won't, simply they won't. And as much as that might sound a bit strong, they won't. That's the reality of it, sadly. So that's where it needs help from outside, certainly. Like as much as I repeat, the sentiment is lovely about what we can do online and stuff. That won't keep the show on the road, absolutely not.
Okay. I have a question for each of you, a little quiz question just to change tack slightly for a few moments. I'm going to give the first one to Alan because I know that James is a bit of a brain box when it comes to League of Ireland questions. So, Alan, I'll give you this one, and I think you'll get it as well. Who were the Premier Division and FAI Cup winners in the year of foot and mouth 2001?
Wow, 2001. Yeah. I was still in England, Adrian. That's my excuse.
Yeah, this was before social media, so you didn't hear it. Is that what you're saying?
I was only back in 2002. I actually don't know, to be honest. There you go, straight out. There's no point in
blast
trying
at it.
2001.
James, you know, do you?
I'm thinking it might be Drogheda.
No.
Shelburne.
Double winners.
Shelburne or Bohemians?
Bows.
Yeah, Bohemians, Bohemians, I thought, yeah. Would that be Stephen Kenny's time?
No, sorry. Oh, when I say Bowes won the cup and the league, James.
I thought you were talking it was a double winner.
Yeah, it's the way the question is framed here.
Who were the Premier Division? Who wrote the question?
James McMahon.
Bowes won the cup 2001.
Alan, will you just Google it there while we're waiting for James?
Google it there, Alan, will you? Because we're on technology here where we can't Google at the moment.
No, I'm not.
Colin Byrne might have the answer. Conan?
Oh, I thought Bowes won the double in 2001.
You're right. Sorry if you're throwing you astray there, lads. Yeah. So who were the Premier Division?
Wait a second. You're the worst quiz master ever.
Did you? I think you said Drogheda.
I said, yeah.
Did you?
He said Drogheda.
Will we start? I'll tell you what. We'll start this all over again with another question. That was actually that question just came in by text, so I was kind of trying to lean over my shoulder here and read it out. So, who were the Premier Division and FAI Cup winners in the year of foot and mouth 2001? Bohemians was the answer, and the prize, and there is no prize, goes to Conan Byrne. So well done. And
how long, Adrian? Out of interest, I know there was a couple of. How long was the season stopped for the foot and mouth?
James.
I think it was a 4 week. Or was it? No, actually, a three to 4 week stoppage on it.
Okay.
I think it was. It was
something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't as long as is now predicted for this. But
we're looking at a lot worse now. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. We're looking massively to this. Like.
Okay, I'll give you another crack here. So, Alan, on the resumption of sport after foot and mouth, Roy Keane scored twice in a World Cup qualifier against an opposition by the name of which nation? So Roy Keane, two goals after the resumption of football post foot and mouth in that World Cup qualifying campaign. James, let me know
Holland.
If you know.
Was it over two games?
Holland, no.
Not the Dutch, no.
Was it two games, though?
Wasn't
it the same
balls.
Game? Was it Portugal?
No. Conan is sitting quietly in the wings there, Conan.
Macedonia, is it?
No, but I can see Googling. Where you're going.
Moldova.
Yeah, we always played against the Swiss.
No, Cyprus is the answer. Cyprus is
bad
the answer.
Bad memories of Cyprus. Very bad memories of Cyprus.
I don't remember Roy Keane scoring any goals for Ireland, really. And he was my hero.
Yeah. Well, remember the one up the north against Northern Ireland at Windsor? Anyway, Conan Byrne has just miraculously appeared on the podcast, but there is good reason as well. How you doing, Conan?
I'm not too bad, Adrian. How are you?
Good, good. The road to the Aviva. You're doing a walk on Wednesday. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm just doing a walk. I was sitting in the house over the weekend, and obviously I'm not teaching at the moment or playing football, so just wanted to give something back. I know the Irish Cancer Society have had to cancel their main fundraiser this year of Daffodil Day, so look, it's only something very, very small that I decided to do, and I enjoy doing the fundraisers and helping others, so I decided just to go with it. And the idea came, I was just talking to Amanda at home, and we came up with the idea of what about a walk around the League of Ireland ground to Dublin.
Okay, great idea, super idea. And you've already surpassed, you set a target of 4,000 and you've already surpassed that.
Well, I actually set a target of 750, and after an hour that was gone, so I had to kind of alter the plan a little bit. So I put it up to 4,000, and yeah, that's been gone too. So it's a bit ducked. The support of the League of Ireland group have always been unbelievable, and the last couple of days have been no different. I'm overwhelmed, being totally honest.
Okay, what's the route?
Well, I start off at Tolka Park, travel to Daly Mount, then to Richmond Park, to Talla, to Stradbroke, to UCD Bowl, where I am now, actually, because I have to collect a jersey, and then to the Aviva Stadium.
And what distance will that entail?
It's a marathon. It's 40, it's strangely enough, it's 42 kilometres.
Wow.
It's going to be a long L day.
Wow. So how long should that take?
I don't know, like, I'm driving the route. I drove the route there with the kids today, and
I could do that.
Driving the tent.
I'm checking it out, lads. That's all. And it's taken me about 2.5 hours so far. I'm only in UCD, so I'm thinking about 9-10 hours.
Are you driving on Wednesday as well, Conan?
I wish, Alan. Yeah. after driving it today, I'm knackered already.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Go on.
Because last night I received a tweet from Conan, and I was included in it, and this was the first I heard of this. And I was sitting there, and I actually said, if I had a bit of notice and he had to get in contact with me, I would have done this with him. So I was a little bit annoyed and a little bit disappointed that this was the first I heard of it. So,
Can I say something, though? Because of this virus, I'm doing it completely by myself. I've been asked by hundreds, being totally honest. But this virus going around, I don't want to bring any negative feedback towards it at all. And that's the reason why I've said, look, I'm just going to do it alone.
Well, that's why, that was my next question, because I know where obviously it's a brilliant thing to be doing. And with a bit of notice, I would have loved to have done it with you, or even done a leg of at the club I played for or something like that. But on a practical point of view, and the world we're living in now, the whole kind of social distancing thing, you're actually doing it on your own, are you?
Yes, completely on my own. Okay, yeah. Okay. As I said, a lot of the fans, even players have asked, could they come along? But look, I've done a little fun thing. I'm going to be wearing the jersey of each club along the route. So to be putting on a Shamrock Rovers jersey is going to be very difficult.
Now, I don't know if I would have done that for you, Conan.
Sure, you barely put on the Pats and Shells jersey anyway, Alan. So you may as well have put on a Rovers one as well.
No way would I put on one of them jerseys.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's a heck of a long walk.
It is. And believe it or not, the longest route that I have the jersey on is the Shamrock Rovers one from Talla to Stradbroke. So, sure, it has to be done, I suppose. It's all for a good cause.
Will you be tweeting en route? Will you be?
I will, yes. I will.
On social media?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm going to try and it's only a quick couple of days. So I'm trying to raise as much money as possible and awareness for the charity as well. So, yeah, I'll be tweeting along the way to try and drum up a little bit more support. So I'd appreciate your help, lads, with that as well.
Absolutely. Mm. It's a super idea, isn't it, James? Because obviously, as Conan referenced there, Daffodil Day is a huge day in the country. But obviously, funds will be hit this time around because people just simply aren't out and about. So for him to do what he's doing, he deserves huge kudos.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I actually, believe it or not, I planned the exact same thing a couple of years ago for Trevor Crawley's nephew. And if Conan had got his measurements right, he could have got it all done in 18 miles, which is a lot shorter if he had started in Stradbroke. If you start in Stradbroke and go that way around, it's a lot shorter. It's nearly 10 miles shorter. You could have been home and all in about 6 hours.
But the whole thing about it being a marathon, James.
Yeah, no, it's a fabulous idea, as you said. Like, it's making awareness of, like, this is a massive day that the Cancer Society are going to miss out on. It's one of the biggest fundraising events in Ireland, the Daffodil Day. And the fact that someone's willing to go out and do it, and the fact it's got so much backing on social media, as you said, you're already past your the money you wanted already, and I'm sure that's only going to climb. So best of luck. My personal thing is get a good pair of shoes on you, because it's going to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and look, I have to thank Glenavon, my club, as well, because they gave me the green light to go ahead with this as well, when they didn't really have to, when I'm in contract with them. So I have to mention the club as well.
And Conan, how do people go about funding you, the Road to Aviva? There's a special page, isn't there?
Yeah, like I've pinned my tweet on Twitter, so if you just go onto my page and then just you'll find the GoFundMe link and just go for it. Other way of just going to the GoFundMe website and type in my name, I'm sure it'll come up there as well.
And will you take breaks you along the way? Obviously, you have to.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, look, I'm not going to give myself a time to do it in. I'm going to be sensible about it. As I said, I'm still in contract with Glenavon. I don't want to be messing them about. So I will take breaks. I've been kindly, a couple of people along the way have offered to help out with that as well. So it's, and if you see me along the route, give me a wave or we won't be shaking hands or autographs or anything like that, but a little beep or a wave and that'll keep me going.
And will you be collecting along the way? Because you said it's a solo mission, but will there be somebody maybe going along with you, perhaps with a bucket or?
No, absolutely not. Nothing like that. I'm just going to, as I said, I'm going to do it all through Twitter, and hopefully then that'll be enough. I'm not going to be carrying a bucket, or as I said, I don't want to do anybody with me in case there's any net. Look, there's always one person that will say something, isn't there? So, if I just do it completely by myself, there'll be no issues there and no negative feedback towards the Irish Cancer Society too.
And maybe just remind people of your Twitter handle just so that they can get details of the road to the Aviva.
Conan Byrne CB7.
Okay. Conan, can I get your thoughts perhaps on the current situation? Because obviously at the outset of this podcast we mentioned that the bigger picture, of course, is this virus, which is wreaking havoc right around the world. And we're very mindful of that. But we're primarily on this podcast talking about football. So it's against that backdrop, of course. But the situation facing League of Ireland clubs now, for many clubs, we were just saying, it's a very dark period potentially ahead, given that there's unlikely to be football for some time.
Absolutely. Look, it's going to be very, very difficult. I just caught the end of your chat there, and Alan was speaking a lot of sense in terms of the clubs that are going to be really struggling compared to the possible of other ones. Like the lower clubs are going to really struggle during this time, and I think it's a great initiative by some clubs buying merchandise, virtual programs, virtual match tickets. It's really, really good, and it would really help. It's just one of those things that's just very difficult to know how far it'll go. I don't think even we've hit the top of it. It's only been the tip of the iceberg, to be totally honest. I can't see us playing games for at least another 2 months at least. And I don't know what clubs can do to even get a bit of fundraising because you can't go for a table quiz. You can't do anything. So if clubs may come up with some new ideas, rack their brains and come up with ideas of fans being able to help the club out, it would be great.
Okay, well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck with the walk on Wednesday. And a reminder, people can check out Conan's page on the GoFundMe page and also via his Twitter handle. Best of luck, and hope loads of money pours in, because it's such a great cause.
Thanks, Neil, lads. Appreciate that.
No problem. Alan, away on the international scene, away from League of Ireland, domestic matters, but of course, Ireland-Slovakia, we expect that to be postponed, and Euro 2020 almost certain to go now.
100%, Adrian, yeah. It will absolutely go on top of everything else. So I'd say it's only a matter of time before those announcements come as well. And as I say, like, you know, as much as we love football and you know the love I have for football as us all, you just have to be real about the situation. This is like, I was only chatting to one of my friends today and who would be actually vulnerable to this virus. And just from everything that I'm following on the news and everything you're hearing and all, I was literally texting him, and the conversation we were having was about just staying indoors and keeping himself safe and minding himself away from anything at all or anywhere where he could pick this up, because it could actually prove fatal for this lad, because he is vulnerable, very much so. So that's the reality of where we find ourselves at the moment. It's totally unprecedented, as you've said. We're in uncharted waters. Nobody knows. So we just have to follow the best guidelines. And if that means, as much as we all love football, and as I said right at the very start, that we often joke about people who don't watch sport at the weekends, what do they do? we just have to just suck it up for the 2-3 months, whatever the case may be. And as I said, I know that initially they said the 29th of March, but it won't be the 29th of March, Adrian. This is going to run and run for a long time yet.
And the suggestion, James, that UEFA will look at postponing the European finals until possibly next year, we shall see, but that the priority may well be to try and get the various leagues, the Italian Federation very keen that Serie A gets played off. I'm sure as well, obviously, the English Premier League will be keen and Liverpool supporters will be keen to see the Premier League completed. But the Euro's probably gone. The Champions League, perhaps, with summer finals.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that. I think this is where money talks within football, and the big leagues are the ones that are making massive money out of their own leagues and they need to get them finished. It does then, again, it's kind of trickle-down economics here. It kind of then affects the Irish League as well, because you've got clubs who have qualified for Europe. Where do they now stand? Like, for instance, the likes of Derry and Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers have brought players in to attack Europe. What happens with them going into Europe this year? Do they get payments for being in Europe? And that's a massive financial blow to clubs if that payment isn't there. So this is something that has to be looked at as well. Like, I can't see Euro 2020 going ahead. I honestly can't, because I said money talks. The big leagues are going to put pressure on UEFA, so that'll be gone, so as they can get their seasons finished out. It might happen next year, but God knows. We don't know when we'll be back. It's a situation nobody's been in before. I think, 1916? You have to go back to the Spanish flu epidemic was the last time anything like this happened around the world. And like then, there was no League of Ireland, so we could end up coming off the back of this with the same thing. Hopefully not. But, you know, anything could happen in these next couple of months.
I think, Adrian, as well, it's worth pointing out that, to be fair to the government here and all, and regardless of any political kind of affiliations you have, I think they've acted very well. Like, and because this, the seriousness of this, I don't know if people even realise yet just what's coming, really, or what's here now and what is coming. And you look at the likes of the Premier League last week and the shambles that was Arteta having to come out after the statement, and once his statement came out, they decided to release another one the next day, and that was only when they called it off. You have Wayne Rooney criticising them heavily. Cheltenham going ahead last week, as much as we love, like, the UK have been an absolute disgrace really on this, and so I think we've acted as best we can, I suppose, and been more proactive than a lot of other countries, and hopefully that will benefit us in the long run.
Without diverting into the political sphere, they would say they're acting on the advice from their health officials, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And also, as well, there are people in this country who would say that perhaps the government should have acted sooner. But anyway, we'll have to see how this all plays out. In the meantime, Alan, James, many thanks for joining us on the podcast. Mind yourselves, lads. And I think the general advice has been look after each other and wash your hands and all of that. So do all of that. And all going well, we'll be back next week. Until then, bye-bye.